Aurora Lee, be humble, see the earth,
the body of our soul,
the green earth, indubitably human.
Like this flesh and these articulated veins through which our heart drives blood.
There's not a flower of spring that dies, but vaunts itself, allied by issue and symbol, by significance and correspondence, to that spirit world outside the limits of our space and time, whereto we are bound. Let poets give it voice. Critics say that epics died out with Agamemnon and the goat-nursed gods. I don't believe it. Homer's hair turned gray, like any plain Miss Smith's. Hector's infant cried. All actual heroes are human beings, and everyone a possible hero. Yes, and every age appears to the souls who live in it most unheroic. Ours, for instance, the poets abound who scorn to touch it with a fingertip. Our age is scum. Spoon off the richer past. We are merely an age of transition.
That's wrong thinking to my mind.
And wrong thoughts make poor poems.
Exert a double vision.
Have eyes to see near things comprehensively and distant things as intimately as if you touched them.
I distrust the poet who discerns no character or glory in her times.
No! If there's room for poets in this world, their sole work is to represent their age, not Charlemagne's.
This live, throbbing age that brawls, cheats, maddens, calculates, aspires, and spends more passion, more heroic heat than King Arthur ever felt for Guinevere.
To flinch from modern decadence, to long for togas and picturesque drama is foolish.
Perhaps Camelot to minstrels seemed as flat as Fleet Street does to our poets.
Never flinch, but be unscrupulously epic.
Catch upon the burning lava of a song the full-veined, heaving, double-breasted time.
So that, when the next age shall come,
the poets of that time may touch our impress with reverent hand
and say, behold, behold the paps we all have sucked. The bosom seems to beat still.
Or at least it sets ours beating.
This is living art,
which thus presents and thus records true life.
What form is best for poems?
Trust the spirit to make the form, for otherwise we only imprison spirit and not embody.
5 acts to a play.
And why not 15?
Why not 10?
Or 7? What matter for the number of the leaves, supposing the tree lives and grows?
Exact the literal unities of time and place, when it is the essence of passion to ignore both time and place?
Absurd.
Keep up the fire and leave the generous flames to shape themselves.
Whoever writes good poetry looks just to art. She will not suffer the best critic known to step into her sunshine of free thought and self-absorbed conception and exact an inch-long swerving of the holy lines.
Can art for praise or hire still keep its splendor and remain pure art?
Serfdom. What the poet writes, she writes.
Mankind accepts it if it suits, and that's success.
If not, the poems passed from hand to hand, and yet from hand to hand, until the unborn snatch it, crying out in pity on their elders being so dull.
That's success, too.
The artist's part is both to be and do. Transfixing with special central power the flat experiences of the common man, and turning outward with a sudden wrench, half agony, half ecstasy, the thing she feels the inmost, never felt the less because she sings it. Does a torch burn less brightly for burning next to reflectors of blue steel?
Oh, sorrowful, great gift conferred on poets of a twofold life. When one life has been found enough for pain, we, staggering beneath our burden, support the intolerable strain and stress of the universal and send clearly up, with voices broken by the human sob, our poems to find rhymes among the stars.